Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
It is that time of the week. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com joins us for the next hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans and the hiring of Brian Callahan to be the next head coach of the Titans. We'll take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Paul Kuharski presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution. Edley's Barbecue, family-owned business that is local to Nashville. And PK, what a week it has been for the Tennessee Titans. Brian Callahan, the next head coach. You talked about Brian Callahan in the immediate aftermath of the Vrabel firing. Callahan was the guy that you identified that you felt like they should go after. They've done that, and it feels like, based on the way that this thing went down, that Callahan was their target pretty early into the process. So let's just start with your reaction to the hire and what you think this now means for the Tennessee Titans with Callahan and his head coach.
I think it's a good hire. But, you know, you have to point out that you never know. You know, I was looking at a list of the 2018 hires, you know, and once this hiring cycle is done, Joe has colleagues that'll rank, you know, the hires. And a 2018 list, I think it was Adam Shine, had, you know, Vrabel last on the 2018 hires. And Vrabel was the last man standing of the 2018
hires. Yeah, do you remember off the top of your head the other ones?
Gruden was number one.
Sure.
But Matt Patricia, I think, was number two on his list. You know,
Matty
Pat. So, you know, it just goes to show you. I'm a little bit surprised that outside of the two in-house promotions, the Titans are first out of the remaining six. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know, in time, we'll find out. I think Brian Callahan and Ben Johnson were the two best candidates. Ben Johnson maybe better in that he's called plays before, so we've seen his thing. But Callahan more exposed widely to a variety of good quarterbacks. And in that regard, you have to like the body of experience that he brings in. Seems like a really nice guy. I had a chance to say hello. He was very cordial. I think he's going to be very popular in terms of how he comes across when we get to meet him, which I suspect is going to be tomorrow.
Look,
he's got, you know, he's been close to all of these guys, and while he hasn't called plays, which I don't think is that big a deal, it's been well documented. If you haven't read Dan Pompey's piece from The Athletic, I retweeted it this week. I think it was from a year or two ago, but he ran through like each of the quarterbacks that he's been with. And like some people have said, like, if you think that he had anything to do with Peyton Manning when he was in Denver, you're crazy. I don't think people are suggesting that he had something to do with Peyton Manning's success. He was around Peyton Manning's 4 years in Denver, watched him operate, understands particularly the protection element of that. And from this story,
well, he was his grinder.
Right. He was his grinder. And he told Peyton, like, at one point, this sort of blitz by this team is not going to happen. And Manning came back the next day with a snap of it happening. And
from 2 years earlier, right, he told me it's not going to happen.
You told me this wasn't going to happen. And he said, oh, and that taught him, like, I've got to go deeper.
Right.
And that's been his thing. Like, I'm never going to be wrong on that again. So that tells you about kind of the depth of him, a really good illustration kind of the things he does. So, look, everybody's going to be happy at this stage, and you should be happy and cheerful. But also, you know, I'm the guy to temper the hope, right? This does nothing with the offensive line yet. We got to see the personnel. We've got to see if he gets his dad or who he gets to coach the offensive line. And, you know, you're hopeful that he'll do better in terms of helping them get better offensive linemen. You're right into the receiver versus offensive line player at number seven. We don't know who's going to be there, but it takes you back to Ja'Marr Chase and Penei Sewell at number five, that the Bengals had a choice. Not that there's a Ja'Marr Chase comp in terms of a guy having worked with Levis the way that Chase and Joe Burrow were together, but we're going to talk about that a ton. But, you know, everything's a clean board now, fresh blank page, and you go forward on that. Temper the hope because there's a long way for them to go, but also look at Houston and how quickly they turn things around and you know, have expectations.
So you mentioned Ben Johnson. Would you believe two things? One, that Callahan was the Titans' top choice all along, and two, that Ben Johnson at some point expressed that he was not interested in this job?
Well, there's only so much time that Ben Johnson had with his team playing and with the requests and squeezing in. And look, I don't know what the answer is to the interviewing during the playoffs and all of that. I don't know if it was better that face-to-faces had to wait until Monday after the divisional round. There's probably a better way to do it. I don't think it's wait until after the Super Bowl. But I do think that the guys who are on the four remaining teams end up getting screwed in this process unless a team just decides to wait for one of those guys. And then, you know, if you miss out on them after that, you're kind of screwed. You know, I hope the Titans didn't go in, you know, saying they had a clear-cut leader because you got to be open-minded. But he clearly was near the top of their list, at least. And I think reasonably so. I'm glad that he's not somebody that, you know, Carthon had a huge relationship with. I certainly think he impressed them in what he had. He's got a heck of a list of references. And at a certain point, you take a leap of faith on a guy. This looks like a good guy to take a leap of faith on.
So you mentioned the play calling part of this. Obviously, he's not been a primary play caller, although, you know, Zach Taylor has talked about how they've worked together in that process. Collaboration, a buzzword that was used in our Paul Daner interview yesterday, which we should outlaw moving forward. But you said it's not a huge deal to you. Why?
Well, I think most of these young offensive-minded coaches who've come in haven't been play callers previously. A lot of them. I mean, Mike McDaniel wasn't calling plays before. Matt LaFleur had 1 year of calling plays, and it wasn't a particularly good year, right? I don't think Kevin O'Connell was calling plays before he got started.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for doing it in the heat of the moment and for the rhythm of it. But I don't think it's as big a deal as we make it out to be if you've been under somebody, particularly in a Callahan's case where he's been under Zach Taylor, who went through this same thing and watched it very closely and been on the headset for 5 years of it, being right there. So you're less than a step away from it, you know?
Yeah. I think there's – it does seem kind of clear that this group of coaches, that it's not maybe the same as the traditional play caller or head coach separations. I mean, that's like I mentioned earlier, you know, I talked to Zach Taylor, and one, I mentioned this on the show earlier, but, you know, he's like, he'd go to the defense and, like, Callahan would get a series of play calls anyway. But also he said they probably talk to each other more than any coach or coordinator, or at least non McVay Shanahan, it's almost like they're calling plays together. Right. You know what I mean?
Now, collaborating.
Still, there you go.
Yes.
Bless
Again,
you.
I looked for your Taylor. You mentioned it on the way in, and I looked for it on The Athletic, and my Athletic feed just downgrades you. You're like, this story's up?
No. I mean, I'm trying to talk to people.
Okay.
But, you know, I thought it was worth mentioning that brief little snippet of it. You know,
it's a tease.
It's part of this. Yeah, exactly. It's a tease. Yeah. So, I mean, I still think, like, you know, that's what's interesting too. It's like, okay, so now he'll step into the role of being the play caller, being the head coach play caller, right?
We presume there's some people out there speculating that he would have an offensive coordinator calling plays. If you hire this guy, I think you're expecting him to call play.
It's interesting because, like, obviously LaFleur came here. The lure was you'll get to call plays, right? And it helped him. I mean, yes. But it seems like all the OCs for these guys don't get that, and they still get the opportunities.
Right.
Which I think probably says a little bit of something about how the league views the lack of play calling. Like, probably not as big a deal as some people make it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not that big a deal. And because there's as we just listed, guys who've come in and had success not having done it. So it's not that big a deal.
All right, what happened, Robbie? Something happened.
The Packers fired Joe Barry. He's their defensive coordinator.
Oh.
Been waiting on that one for a year.
Oh, hallelujah.
Just throwing it out there. 615-737-1025.
He's from their tree. The defensive guys don't do as well on their tree.
Yeah, he does not. 615. Go ahead.
I still wonder if Sean McDermott's safe.
That's a good question. It's a very good question. Vrabel to Buffalo? What do you think? What do you think, Joe? You said that the other day. Get Vrabel in there.
Although,
he can be KC.
But the thing about Vrabel to Buffalo is that would break the trend of teams hiring the opposite of what they just had.
That is true.
Right?
I would think, though, the top two candidates there could conceivably be Belichick and Vrabel. Mm.
They very keep fighting each other for jobs.
They do.
Well, I mean, it sounds like Belichick, I can't remember where I read this, but that blank very much wants Belichick and everybody else in the building very much doesn't want Belichick for job preservation's sake.
Well, there's that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have more with Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com coming up next. Get more into the hiring of Brian Callahan by the Tennessee Titans. Take your thoughts all show long. Your questions on our text line, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us, brought to you by Edley's Barbecue.
I love Edley's Barbecue. I eat there too often. It's a local family-owned business, and it was voted the best barbecue in Nashville for the second year in a row in 2023, which makes sense because their food's spectacular and their service is second to none. Their goal is to make the world a better place by making people happy, and they're certainly doing just that. Go support Nashville's best barbecue at one of Edley's convenient locations or get Edley's catered for your next event. I know a couple games coming up this weekend that would qualify for that. You can't go wrong with Edley's. Go check them out.
So Brian Callahan hired by the Titans. You know, we've discussed what that could mean, the play calling aspect of it and all that. What about offensive line? Because there is an assumption out there that Brian Callahan will bring his father, Bill, with him to be the offensive line coach. Bill is currently under contract with the Cleveland Browns as their offensive line coach. You said last week on the show, we were discussing that Mike Munchak has shown some interest in maybe wanting to get back into the coaching realm of things here. So how do you view the offensive line side of this, and how do you view the Bill Callahan situation as it relates to his contract currently with the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I certainly think Bill Callahan would be the top choice here. Once upon a time, Bud Adams had an anti-nepotism policy. That went by the wayside, or there was an exception made, or the nepotism policy came in after Floyd Reese had his son work as an assistant in the front office. Then that went by the wayside when Dean Pease's son worked as an assistant on Mike Vrabel's staff. I asked Amy Adam Strunk about that back when she used to occasionally talk to the press, and she said she just didn't have a problem with it the way her dad did. And this would be very inside-out nepotism with the dad working for the son,
yeah,
which would be a super interesting dynamic. Joe seems to be of the opinion that like Cleveland would be duty-bound to let a dad out to go work for his son. I'm more on the business side where – you know, it would at least take some negotiating for me to let a valuable piece of my staff out to go work for a rival just because he happened to be related. But he's a very good line coach. And a lot of people on Twitter are making this thing like, well, the line coach doesn't matter if they don't get better players. Yes, obviously. I want better players and a great line coach. Both.
Yeah,
both. You not want, one yeah, or the other, both. But both. I'm not saying bring back Andre Dillard and let Bill Callahan coach
him.
I'm
up.
Saying
just go
draft
up.
Joe Alt and let Bill Callahan coach him.
Yeah,
I think Munchak is an extraordinary coach, but he obviously would be you know, second in line here given this situation. I see in Pittsburgh they're calling for them to bring Munchak back yep. now. And I know there's a handful of places he would consider given who the head coach is and the geography. So I imagine he might consider going back to work for Tomlin again as well.
Yeah. First of all, yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. It's like the I like looking at the salary structure of a team. So your quarterback makes way more than anybody else, most important person. And you go down the list, you got a few other players who make more, and then the coach is probably right there, right? Like they're both important. You got to have players, but you got to have coaching. Are players more important? I think so. Sure. Absolutely. Is coaching important? Critically.
Look, the players, I said last year, the core problem with the Titans offensive line was the talent was insufficient. But they were also talking about communication problems, particularly picking up stunts and twists. Well, there's coaching involved in that. And I think we could all agree that Vrabel hiring the assistant of the guy that he fired did not look like the smartest move after things started to go awry, particularly, you know, with the world of available people out there for him to have gone and examined and considered.
Yeah. I think it's insane that the idea that Bill Callahan would not be allowed to come here to be offensive line coach. I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, because I know Connor.
I think he will be, but I think they'll try to get
a seventh round pick out of him or something like that.
I don't know.
I mean, like I know Connor Orr from SI wrote, it doesn't look like that's happening. If you're the Cleveland Browns, first of all, I mean, it's a guy's kid. I know it's the NFL. It's like, well, so what? But okay, so Bill Callahan, who's 67 years old, who does not need to work another day in his life. So you think that that's going to benefit you to hold him hostage and make him be your offensive line coach next year? That's ridiculous. I mean, if that's – then I guess I look at Jimmy Haslam and say, wow, it's even worse than I thought. That's just absurd to me.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but I look at the other side of it. Cleveland had really good offensive line play.
Yep.
Ahead of their fourth string quarterback and without their number one running back. And that's hugely valuable. And Cleveland went to the playoffs this year, and they want to go next year.
It's hugely valuable.
And they got a contract.
It's hugely valuable. And now his life has changed, and there's no – if he's retiring if that happens.
You say that. You met
I'll bet
67-year-old football coaches who've got it in their blood?
He'll retire and then, you know, come back.
Could be an analyst.
Some point. Yeah.
An intern.
I was going to say he'll go to Saban, but yeah, that can't happen.
I can't do that anymore.
Yeah, who's going to be the new coach rehab coach now?
No, it's
– I think it's stupid.
Like, I think it's going to happen. I think Callahan will end up being here too. It is interesting, though, like if you are Cleveland, what could you negotiate in that? Like, I don't recall a situation where that – I mean, obviously, a dad going to work for a son is a unique situation anyway. But, like, what could you negotiate in something like that?
I don't know. I haven't seen a trade for an assistant coach.
We have not.
Right.
So
never been a coordinator,
that
right?
Would be
coordinator
weird.
Trade? That's never happened, right?
I don't think so.
Only head coaches.
But maybe there's something else that's outside the box that we're not
some cash,
thinking of.
Some cash to help them with their guaranteed Deshaun Watson contract?
Well, yeah. So. They'll trade Callahan and Deshaun Watson yeah. for $250
million. What about the play calling? What are you most interested to find out about Brian Callahan and the way that he operates as a head coach?
Well, I think the leader of men thing is interesting and important. I mean, and how he appeals to the defense. You know, who he brings in to run the defense. And you guys were talking about this when I was driving in. You know, does he hire kind of a defensive head coach sort of coordinator, and how involved is he on the defense? Not that he's not going to be involved, but, you know, there are degrees here depending on how powerful a defensive head coach he brings in. And, Joe, you mentioned the thing about that he talked about, you know, the team that passes the best wins most games, which, by the way, I think Titans fans should just keep reading and rereading and watching and rewatching that a Titans coach actually thinks that, believes that, hears that, understands that. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day that there's a coach here who thinks that passing well is an important element of winning.
See, See, you're going to trigger me now.
You're going to go with personnel.
Again, like Mike Vrabel was a head coach when they had a perfect balance, scoring 31 points a game, throwing the ball, running the ball.
Didn't last.
Well, I know it didn't last, but was that because Vrabel said, want a 1983 offense?
No, it's because his GM foolishly traded away AJ Brown.
So then why is it happy day? Why is it that?
Well, it's happy day because Vrabel said, well, who the hell are we going to throw it to? And they didn't make an effort to get people to throw it to. Or their assessment of somebody to throw it to was, oh, Treylon Burks can replace AJ Brown. Oh, Nick Westbrook-Akina,
well, I know, but
somebody told you, can be a number two receiver in the league.
I think
which is
one.
False. Yeah. Brian Callahan's going to look at Nick Westbrook-Akina and know what he is and that he's not a number two receiver ever in the NFL.
I've never rooted for NWI more in my life than I am in the next few months.
People say, well, the Titans don't have the personnel to do that. Correct. They don't have the personnel to do anything now.
Right.
So he's going to come in and say, what we need is personnel that can throw the ball down the field.
Sure, but
got a quarterback, so let's get some receivers. And he's not going to look at the TV screen in the fifth round and laugh at everybody about not drafting a wide receiver.
I mean, Vrabel did bring in Hopkins, right?
Yes, one receiver.
Well, okay. Wow. He didn't want to trade A.J. Brown.
Joe, you moved here in what year?
2016.
Okay, I moved here in 1997. Since 1997, they had Derek Mason, Drew Bennett, Nate Washington, and A.J. Brown. Four receivers since 1997 who are worth talking about. It's time to have four receivers on one team that are worth talking about.
So 2 years from now, if they don't have just a fleet of amazing receivers, is it fire Brian Callahan?
No.
Okay.
But I think it's far more likely under this coach that they will care about the wide receiver position in a way they never have in their history as the Tennessee Titans than it's ever been before. Because they've never had a coach who said, the team that passes the ball the best usually wins. No coach in the history of this franchise in Tennessee has ever uttered anything close to that.
That is true.
Anything close. Efficient passing is the closest we've come. Efficient passing.
Okay. We'll throw it around the yard. No, I say they just get rid of all the running backs.
Look, for somebody that's, and you guys know this better than me, but that's watched this team the last 2 years, yes, throw the ball more. We need some offense in this city, for God's sake. I don't know if we're going to get it immediately next year, but we need it.
And I'm for offense.
He didn't.
I'm for running the ball, too. Look at the Final Four.
He didn't.
Look at the Final Four teams.
Look, of course, and he said in this thing, it sets you up to run the ball. Throwing it sets you up to run the ball. You're against the idea of modern NFL somehow.
No,
I don't know why.
I'm not against it. When Vrabel came in, we were talking about Mariota and the West Coast offense, blah, 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 Matt LaFleur. Oh, it's so happy day. Happy
Mariota's
day.
It's terrible.
Okay, fine. But the point is that that's all anybody was talking about when they hired Vrabel.
And it didn't happen.
They were
talking about it with a defensive head coach who couldn't make it happen, except for a fleeting moment that the GM decided he was smarter than and extinguished by handing a guy to Philadelphia for virtually nothing.
We can keep going on and on and around and around on this, but like even me who wasn't here, I saw the Titans try to bring in receivers, and they would just fail. They had terrible choices.
Well,
also, we were here when Corey
they
Davis
can't
went.
They assess well, I know, wide receivers.
But just because someone says that doesn't mean they're going to make good choices.
Do you think Brian Callahan is more equipped to assess wide receivers than everybody who's been here before him? If he's not, they're in trouble.
I mean, everybody? Then Vrabel, I would say yes. So,
what about the Wiz?
I don't know. What about the Wiz?
You think Mike Munchak was great at assessing wide receivers his offensive line spot? Do you think Mike Mularkey was great at assessing wide receivers?
Well, Mike Mularkey, you know, Inspector Gadget with the Steelers. I don't know how much involvement he had in, but he had good ones there.
He wasn't the head coach there.
Well, I know.
By the way.
Okay.
Okay. Let's keep going. Jeff Fisher, do you think he was great at assessing wide receivers? I'll answer for you. No.
Right. But again, but the argument.
Okay.
That
so that was
here,
0 for the Titans.
Okay. Hey, if Brian Callahan's had great wide receivers in Cincinnati, does he get credit for the assessment of them?
No. But he was.
Okay.
He was there.
He was there.
Right. I mean, the hope is saying one of the things you're expecting from Brian Callahan is a better assessment of wide receiver talent. Then you hired the wrong guy.
We'll have more with Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser, Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us here on the program. What do you expect the offensive staff situation to look like beyond Bill Callahan as OC? You know, we've talked about it. They brought in Thomas Brown, obviously the Panthers. Thomas Brown was apparently scheduled for a second interview. There's a lot of people trying to make the Liam Cohen connection as OC as well with his relationship with Levis. How do you view OC, and who do you think are some options there under Brian Callahan?
Thomas Brown is an impressive dude. If people haven't fished around and watched some video of him, there's a video I think that the Rams put out when he was coaching tight ends. It's like a 5-minute, you know, where they had him sit down and talk a little bit and showed some highlights of him coaching. And I thought it was excellent production, and he came across. I mean, I understand it's team Pravda and everything, but I was super impressed with him and super intrigued by him.
He's going to be a head coach before long. By 2 years from now, he'll be a head coach. I just don't know what the next step is.
He's got to wash off the Panthers.
Right.
And reestablish
off the Sex Panther cologne.
Reestablish himself as a McVay guy, right? I think he'd be very intriguing. I wonder if David Shaw, what's next for David Shaw? And where he gets back in. I think the Liam Cohen thing's interesting, but you don't need to bend over so far backwards, you know, to get a touchstone for Levis. I think Charles London is a good candidate to maybe remain as quarterback coach as that touchstone. I don't know if it needs to be the offensive coordinator. And I don't know that there needs to be a touchstone, period, to Kentucky or to the previous staff, but maybe. So London or Cohn in that regard would be fine. But I am, based off the homework I've done, I think Thomas Brown would be a really good hire. Not that a lot of these other guys wouldn't be as well.
Yeah. I think Thomas Brown, we talked about it before when he was a candidate for this job, and you know, of course, the people who don't want to look at anything are like, oh, he sucks. The Panthers had 9 points per game. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying, you know. But, I would want to see demonstrated success for sure. And he doesn't have that as OC. But like you said, I mean, he elevated quickly in L.A. He has the McVay
mystique
stamp. I mean, that's pretty predictive of success. And the Panther situation was so bad. I mean, like crazy stupid the way that they went about that.
This coordinator is very likely going to be Callahan to Callahan's Taylor, you know, a non-play calling offensive coordinator who has a lot of input and influence, you know, maybe a little good cop, bad cop. I heard somebody talking about yesterday. You know, it's a different kind of role. And so the bigger hire really is the defensive coordinator. And I don't know what direction he goes there. But I tend to think like an older guy.
Like a head coach of the defense hire.
Yes.
As opposed to also trying to find a young
up-and-comer. Not up-and-comer.
I mean, Vrabel went with
Pease.
Yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
How do you view the Levis part of this in terms of, like, I think there's this assumption out there that whoever was going to take the head coaching job, you better be bought in on Levis based on what A.B. Adams Strunk said about Levis in her statement, based on obviously the investment they've made in him. And, you know, we were talking about this yesterday on the show. The way I kind of view it is, like, I don't think you have to be 100% sold that Levis is the franchise quarterback of the future to take the job. I think you have to be open and like enough of what you've seen to want to work with him if you're going to take the job. But, like, this idea that since Brian Callahan took the job, he's like, yep, Will Levis is my guy for the next 10 years. I don't think that that's the way, or at least I hope not, that's the way that this went down, because I don't think we've seen enough from Levis to warrant that.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I think he's enthusiastic, like, hey, here's some clay to work with. And I think because of X, Y, and Z, he's got a good chance. But, you know, in the clip that we're talking about where he talks about the passing game and the team that passes the best wins the most, he also talks about accuracy being the key to the whole thing. And we know that, that accuracy isn't baked into the Will Levis cake, you know. And so you can get him to a certain point with accuracy, but he's probably not going to be the most accurate he's not going to be the most accurate quarterback in the league. So, you know, could he get to a point where he says, look, I like a lot about Will Levis, but he's never going to be accurate enough to do what we need to do. You know, could after
good,
a
well,
year
good coaches,
he say that?
But a good coach, if he has to be good enough overall, but a good coach is going to say, well, we're going to do more of this, right? Like Burrow, right. Burrow is known as the most accurate intermediate guy in the league, basically.
So they throw accurate intermediate, they throw intermediate passes. Absolutely.
He can throw a deep ball still, and he has incredible receivers to throw them to. But to me, Levis, then you
work around.
You do more vertical stuff, right? I mean, yes. I mean, I know it's, again, simplistic, right. But
well,
like,
you do more vertical stuff, and you do more vertical stuff with the good receivers you bring in that Brian Callahan
that's right.
helps you identify.
That Brian
right.
The first Titan who can ever Titans coach or executive who's ever been able to judge a receiver, per you.
Well, there's not a lot. I mean, go look at go bring
oh,
me
I
a
know.
List.
I know the list.
Let's go down the list.
Let's go Roy Dell Williams.
Let's start this again.
Chris Davis and
Tyrone
Calico.
Hey, Drew Bennett, someone brought up Drew Bennett. Real quick, Jack from Nashville says, if we hired Thomas Brown as OC, then wouldn't he probably be gone a year, thus leave having Levis have his fifth straight OC in 5 years dating back to college?
But Thomas
it's
Brown
not
would
matter
not be the play caller.
Exactly. OC's leaving yeah. now is not going to matter nearly as much. It's not like the Vrabel thing.
It's just how it is.
Because he's got an offensive head coach. So
That's why you hire an offensive head coach, right?
It'd be fine now.
615-737-1025.
PK says all will be well from now on.
Yes.
No, I'm just saying.
Happy day, PK.
In that regard. No, look, we don't know.
Sorry, Robbie. Go ahead. Sorry.
Just saying. We'll have more with Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. Coming up next, more of your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Final segment of the day with Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com, presented by Parman Energy and Edley's Barbecue. Visit ParmanEnergy.com, your one-stop petroleum solution, and Edley's Barbecue, voted Nashville's best barbecue for 2023.
Edley's is locally and family owned, serving up the best barbecue in Nashville. Make sure you check out Edley's Game Day Eats, available from now through the big game. Edley's will provide the good times and great food for you to enjoy on game day. Choose from ribs, wings, hot chicken salad, and hot links. No matter the combination, you can't go wrong with Edley's on game day. Go check out Edley's at any of their convenient locations around town. And if you don't have the burnt ends, you are making a huge mistake.
So Brian Callahan hired by the Tennessee Titans. We'll see when that's made official and when the press conference ends up being scheduled for Brian Callahan to hear from him.
Soon and soon.
So keep your eyes peeled for that. We were also, and we discussed this throughout the week as well, you know, we were told before this process started that the final say part of this was going to be unveiled at some point. And like, I honestly kind of tired of the final say stuff. But Amy Adams Strunk did say that in her video that she had with Mike Keith, as you addressed earlier. So what do we think that's going to look like now that it's said and done? It's hard for me to imagine a head coach that's never been a head coach before getting final say with the Tennessee Titans here. But what do we think that's going to look like? And do we think Amy Adams Strunk actually addresses that, as she said she would?
Oh, I expect that. I mean, I don't see how it wouldn't be part of what they announce. I don't think it's going to be part of the press conference. I've thought that all along. I think we'll get an answer on that. And I don't see how, you know, Callahan's not coming in and getting great power. A rookie head coach is not going to come in and get a great deal of power.
No. I mean, and that's when we early on in the process, Joe, when they talked about Harbaugh not doing an interview, Belichick not doing an interview, it kind of felt like that was the way they were leaning, is bringing in somebody who's not gonna have that power.
Yeah. So it's interesting, though, because – and I know it's very different with Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan was the golden boy, and he was his dad's OC, and then he was an OC for a Super Bowl team. I love, by the way – I wouldn't hire Dan Quinn, but I love that the a primary criticism of Dan Quinn is he blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl and lost in overtime. God, that's you must suck if you blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl and lost to Tom Brady in overtime. Anyway –
Which Kyle Shanahan was also a part of.
Yes, Kyle Shanahan, and yes. The lack of math in that situation was very troubling. Kyle Shanahan still hadn't won the big one, but Kyle Shanahan has control. Sean McVay has control. I don't know exactly the arrangement with Zach Taylor, but...
Well, there's no real GM there. It's a ownership front office, Katie Blackburn, and they do have
the VP of player personnel, but it's Mike.
But they've got a very streamlined, the most streamlined slash cheapest scouting front office in the league.
But I guess
their coaches are very involved in scouting.
But I guess it's like, to me, it's sort of like this is the 49ers model, right? This is the 49ers model. So if Rand Carthon, which is what I said, I expect him to have a final say, quote unquote. It's like you said, Robbie, it does get overrated. But is it basically the exact same model? It's just you flip-flop that thing? Is that how you view it, PK?
I guess. I mean, I'm curious to find out. But, I mean, Carthon, off 1 year, you know, and a convenient firing for him, seems to me to be falling into power rather than climbing the ladder, if you will, right?
But you have to make a choice. So it's either the second-year GM or the first-year head coach. It's just interesting some of those guys got that. I guess McVay, did McVay at 30 years old, did he have that right off the jump?
No, I don't think he had it. I don't think he had it.
Okay, so he gradually – so
graduated to it.
So
generally, you climb the ladder.
So if there's success here, Brian Callahan at some point gets a new contract that says he has final say? Is that how it goes?
No, I don't think that's
how it goes. Will there be more videos to let us know if that happens?
If Carthon gets it, I how do you wrest it from him unless he
So okay, so that's what I'm asking.
If Carthon gets it now.
Did McVay not have it and then got it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, then there's a model for
it. I don't think he had a very powerful GM there. I mean, Fisher was the power in St. Louis.
Yep.
And gradually lost out to Demoff. You know, Demoff was kind of Fisher's guy. And that gradually kind of they gradually swapped places as Fisher fell out of favor and got fired. And Demoff, I thought, well, Demoff's doomed because he was Fisher's guy. But Demoff did a good job of climbing the ladder with the Rams, and ultimately, I think, hired McVay. Or had a big role.
I'm sorry, Ryan. I thought you were closing the show.
Had a big role.
We do need to soon.
The breaking, like next year after the Titans go 11-6 with a great offense, Amy Adams Strunk pops up on our TV feed in the middle of the summer. Brian Callahan now has full control of the organization. Brian Callahan.
You just have a percentage, like just have a ticker, like, uh-oh, a big win. He's up to 38% of the say.
Well, I will say that, and we said that coming into this. It needs to be quiet now. She needs to like them both equally for a long time.
Agreed. PK, thanks for being with us as always.
Don't block the box. Do lock the locks. There's more of me coming up because Robbie's going somewhere nice.
Yes. PK, we'll be back in on Friday for Friday, Monday, and Tuesday.
What? I didn't agree to this crap.
Jason Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.